Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Coach's Corner. I'm Coach Andrew Poritz from Ingenuity Coaching. I help people discover and fulfill their passions and greatness. My mission, to inspire and challenge you to dream big dreams, and with my coaching, help you to manifest those dreams into reality. You can visit my website at www.myfuturecoach.com and follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/CoachAndrew. If you're listening live and you have a question, the phone number here is 646-929-2893. If you call in, you'll be able to listen to the show on the phone, and if you press the number 1, I'll know you have a question. We also have a live chat room right on the show page where you can feel free to join in. Tonight, my guest is David Spike Osterse, the co-founder, co-creator, and co-facilitator of the Dating Demystified Workshop Series. David is a published relationship author, a professional photographer, and an accomplished blogger. He's a true Bronx boy, a funny and gregarious fellow, and I'm proud to call him my friend. You can learn more about Spike at www.demystifieddating.com. And Spike, are you with me?
I am with you.
All right. Welcome to Coach's Corner.
Thank you, Mr. Poritz.
Okay. So you got a lot going on here. You're certainly known for not just one thing, but a whole bunch of things. So first of all, I want to get an idea of, like, where did you come from? What brought you to the world of, in particular, let's talk about what brought you to the relationship world, the dating world. What makes you the expert in this area?
Well, Andrew, as you know, we came from similar stock. I was actually coaching the self-expression and leadership program at Landmark Education, and about 2 or 3 weeks before it completed, the leader of the program pulled me aside and said, "We seem to battle every week. This can't continue. You need to call this guy Rudbarg." So I called this guy Rudbarg, and after about a half hour on the phone with him, getting my you-know-what handed to me, he invited me to a men's circle. And that's when I was introduced to men's work. Didn't go back for a while. About 6 months later, I met you at, I think it was a Quentin's Friends event, and we bonded immediately with our Yiddish accents.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So... you invited me to a meeting as well, and I went to your meeting, and it stuck. And I've been doing that work for about 4.5 years now. About a year into the men's work, Men's Division International, I met a gentleman in a circle named Tony Veer, and we happened to be in a smaller circle, and we were just discussing what we were passionate about in life, and we were both passionate about, you know, bringing men and women together, you know, in dating and relationships and learning, you know, what was behind the scenes, what's going on, why are they afraid of each other, what's happening, what's with the fear. And we spent about 4 hours on the way home from a meeting on 111th Street and Riverside Drive till about 2 o'clock in the morning under a street lamp with a pad and a pen putting the basics of Dating Demystified together. That was a little bit over 3 years ago. We've done about 7 or 8 workshops. It started out as a one-day workshop, expanded to a two-day workshop last year, and it never ceases to amaze me the miracles that happen in our workshops, because I don't teach anyone anything. It's very experiential, and the participants get for themselves all the answers to what's going on in their lives, whether it's with men or women or raining cats and dogs. It really doesn't matter. They get their answers.
That's great. Hey, David, I'm going to ask you to do me a little bit of a favor and pull yourself a little bit away from the mouthpiece of your phone. You're just a little bit, because you are a strong man.
Got it.
Okay,
better?
Great. Oh, great, great.
I'm across the room now, just so you know.
Wow.
I threw the phone in the corner.
This is a man who can throw his voice. I mean, this man can throw his voice like onto a bus, and it can get downtown, and you can hear him. That's how strong his voice is. So I actually was at your, I don't know if it was your first or second beta version, like not even the actual workshop, but sort of working out the workshop.
That's right. I forgot about that.
And that was a very, very intriguing day, because I was part of the process, and I got – to learn a whole bunch of fun things. A couple of people I knew there. I have there's still a couple of people that I know from that workshop that I'm still in touch with, too.
If I remember correctly, there was actually a woman at that workshop that you had previously dated. That was interesting.
Yes, it was, and I'm not going to comment any further on that, but that was...
I won't say a word.
Yes, Coach Andrew has his secrets.
And I know some of them.
Yes, you do. So tell me some of the things that have, you know, obviously, as a, without violating any confidential stories or people, but what kind of things can you tell me that have happened in this workshop that have made it an extraordinary experience for those who have taken it?
All right. We generally, you know, we go along in the workshop, and, you know, I'm so busy working it and running it that I'm not always present to everything going on around me. We get our gifts from our participants in the hour at the end of the workshop when we ask them what they got from it, what made it different from everything else, what did the men learn, what did the women learn. And I remember a statement, one particular young lady who's actually the head of a huge nonprofit here in New York, she said she has never in her life seen men and women take care of each other in the manner that they take care of each other in our workshop. We have one particular exercise run by Alex Robertson called If You Really Knew Me. And in our nomenclature, men and women drop their masks completely in this exercise. They really, really let their pain out. They talk about things they would never talk about in public or even to many of their friends. And sometimes there are tremendous breakdowns, you know, in the workshop where, you know, people are on their knees hysterically crying and they're taking care of each other. You know, we do it in circles of 6 to 12 people. Sometimes we do it in the entire workshop, and there's just a love that happens over 2 days. Anyone that's taken any work, when you're in a room with people for 12, 13, 14 hours a day, there's a lot of bonding that goes on, and that happens. There was also another thing, and this was a couple of years ago. There was a young lady that made a statement that's actually on our site. I thought it was adorable. She said she always used to kill herself. This is a really beautiful young lady in her early 30s. She used to kill herself when dates were going bad. And she realized for the first time that dating is like trying on a pair of jeans. If you don't like the pair of jeans, you just try on another pair. And that was so brilliant when she said that. I remember Tony and me standing there going, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I think I learn more at the workshops than any of the participants do.
Oh, wait a minute, then. Shouldn't you be paying them?
I probably should.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
That's in the arrangements. They don't know about it yet.
Oh, okay, very good. So people get a secret refund because you're learning stuff.
Right, checks in the mail.
Checks in the mail, absolutely. And we know the other two. We're not going to say them. Okay. So you said you've done 6 or 7 of these since you started?
Yeah, we try to do 2 a year. The goal is to go to 3 and then to go to 4. There's a tremendous amount involved in putting these together, not to mention finding space in New York City that's large enough in an area where there's enough restaurants and there's enough amenities. You know, we've grown it to the point now where we really need to have 3 rooms, especially for what we have a big to-do on Saturday night where the men and the women are separated, then we're setting the main room up. So we actually located Hartley House in Manhattan. It's become our home, and it's just the most amazing location, but it's rather expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then there's a matter of all the marketing and everything. So there's a tremendous amount of work and a lot of people involved to set these up. And until we get larger and we have more full-time staff, 2 times a year is pretty much all we can handle.
Oh, wasn't Hartley House from the Bob Newhart show?
Wasn't that
a little bread and bed and breakfast? Wasn't that the Hartleys?
Think it might have been. Possibly, you're dating yourself here, though.
Well, that's here I am on Dating Demystified. Why am I dating myself?
I don't know.
That's my question for you.
We'll have to talk offline about that.
Absolutely. So what are some of how has the workshop evolved since you first started? What's different?
What's different is the participants make it different. Again, at the end of each workshop, we take an hour. And, you know, some of the questions are what worked for you, what didn't work for you. If this were your workshop, what would you do differently?
Hmm.
And people, everybody's got an idea. And we get a lot of really brilliant ideas, and everything's recorded and videotaped, and we write it all down. This way we have triple proof. And we look at it, you know, over and above doing thousands of interviews besides the workshop with men and women, and we take everything down, and we just stick it in a bucket, and we shake it up, and what comes out is generally the cream of the crop. So there are always two or three or four new exercises that have never been seen before each workshop going forward. So if you took this workshop in 2009 and you take it in 2012, you would not recognize it at all. It's completely different. And if you took it 3 years later, maybe there'd be two or three exercises that were the same out of 16 or 18 exercises. So that's one of the things that changes. We're constantly upgrading it and making it tighter and tighter and tighter and better.
Awesome. I'm just going to remind people who are listening live, which means if you're listening to the show in the future, you could ignore this comment. But if you're listening right now, here in 2012, in the month of May, the phone number is 646-929-2893, and David Spike Ostrosy would love to hear from you. So if you want to have your relationship dating questions answered, now is a great time. So speaking of relationship dating questions, tell me, what are some of the typical things that people bring to the table in dating Demystified?
Oh, my God. That's across the board. You know, women have a lot of – I think communication is the biggest problem. We get some, you know, really, really angry women and some really, really scared men because the women are angry. She scares me. I'm not going over there. I'm not doing it. You know, and we get to the bottom of that. We get to the base of why men and women cannot communicate and why they are scared of each other, you know, and why a guy will, you know, sit in a bar looking at a girl and look away every time she looks back at him. And, you know, we get them participating with each other. We have mini dates all through the weekend where we literally just throw everyone together so that they have the experience of being with someone of the opposite sex and not necessarily being coddled by them. Sometimes they're knocked down, you know, and they have to learn how to deal with that. The thing that we do that we love the most is we turn it around on the women. We make the women several times during the weekend do what men are used to doing, and they get it. They're like, oh, that happens to you? I could never do what you're doing. I understand more about why guys are not coming over to me in bars. You know, and it's really, really cute watching the light bulb go on in women's heads and men when they get what the other sex is going through.
So I'd like to hear, you know, I like to hear the specifics. So and if you can't remember, you're going to have to make one up. Tell me a couple of things that are specifics of this.
You know, Coach Andrew, I'd have to kill you if I told you that.
Well, then you're going to have to make it up.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't mean specifics like somebody, you know, Steve Jones, you know, did this. No, I mean some types of very specific types of, for example, what are some of the problems that people have with communications? What are some of the reasons that men aren't coming over to the women? What are some of those things that you could share with us? So give me tidbits. Get me excited here.
I got it. This is one of the things that I teach the men. Mm-hmm. You know, when you see a girl that you're attracted to, you need to go over and speak to them immediately, because the monkeys in our heads start telling us all the reasons why we shouldn't do something the minute we want to do it. She's too pretty. She's probably got a boyfriend. She wouldn't like me anyway. And then the train door opens and she's gone. It's happened to me. It's happened to everybody. So that's one of the specifics, one of the things that we teach, and we thrust them out there, and we literally throw the men at the women and the women at the men. Women needing to understand that men do have tremendous approach anxiety and turning it around on the women, where the women many times during the weekend have to approach the men first. And you wouldn't believe the craziness that happens when we do an exercise where the men are approaching the women and approaching the women and approaching the women, and then all of a sudden the women have to do it. Because the women are used to being in control. Now they've completely lost control and they freak the hell out. It's the funny. It's one of my favorite exercises. I love doing it. I never let anyone else do it, and it's hysterical watching the women go, like, all trying to get at the end of the line. They all want to be on the end of the line. None of them want to go first.
Right. So I would imagine that they're really going to get a sense of. So this is what it's like for you guys.
It really is, but it's both sides.
Yeah.
It's both sides. We have one exercise called the Cinderella and Prince Charming Grow Up.
That's the story of my life,
one of my
favorites. Go on.
And it is men and women are separated, and they have 15 minutes to write down their perfect relationship. Every nuance, every shape, every color, every smell, every taste, everything they would ever want. And they think they're writing it down to put it in their book.
Right.
They have to go across the stage and read it in front of 60 people.
Oh, no.
Yes. And then they have to get critiqued on it, okay? And it's the entire male community critiquing each individual woman. And it brings the women and the men down to earth. When a woman sees that she has certain criteria she wants met in her perfect relationship,
mm-hmm.
and 30 to 40 men are telling her, you ain't getting that, baby, because ain't none of us are going to do those things. So they're learning from their community that what they think is perfect just might not be so perfect. It might not exist at all in reality,
mm-hmm.
and they might have to morph it and change it and transform it a little bit.
You know, it's funny you talk about the Prince Charming and kind of effect. One of the things I've noticed, you know, I'm on dating sites, by the way. And just to be really consistent, anywhere I am on a dating site, I'm Coach Andrew. So if anybody's listening, you want to say, hey, where's Andrew on a dating site? You can find me. I'm very consistent in this way. I mean, wherever I go, I'm Coach Andrew. I get up at karaoke. Coach Andrew is going to come up and sing a song. So one of the things I've noticed a lot on some of these sites is I would describe it as that Prince Charming thing that what I find women, like I'll see a woman who is like 5'1", and she says, you must be at least 6 feet tall. I want somebody tall, dark, and handsome. That's like the code word, which to me sounds like, that. Isn't that what they said in like the fairy tale? He was tall, dark, and handsome. So does that mean that every guy who's like has blonde or red hair should just give it up? You know, what does that mean? So
no.
That's like that fairy tale thing. And so I don't, is that what you're seeing also in some of these workshops?
Yeah, to a degree. But we really lead with our heart in
mm-hmm.
these workshops. And the thing that we found is when you put people together in a room, and I'm not talking about, you know, age specific either. There are people there old enough and young enough to be grandchildren or grandfathers. Our workshop is 25 to 55. But we, every once in a while, get a very young-looking 60, 61, 62-year-old sneaking in that we know, and we know they're good-looking enough. And it's amazing because we split them up into teams of
mm-hmm.
six. You know, watching a 25, 26-year-old woman being coached by a 60-year-old man, and they're absolutely loving each other. They're not going to be in a relationship, but they become dear friends. And, you know, what you find is that the hearts open up so completely that men and women get that they deserve to be loved. They are aware that they can be loved, that they can attract love into their lives. And a lot of people come into our workshops just feeling completely unlovable. You know, maybe some men or women that have never been, ever, with someone of the opposite sex. You would be shocked at how many 30 and 40-year-old virgins there are out there of both sexes.
Wow.
Honestly.
Well, there's now we have a sequel for that movie out of that, right?
A very sad one. Yeah.
Very sad one. So, you know, another thing that occurred to me, have you experienced the workshops where there have been love connections?
Every single one.
Really?
Every single one. From the time we went to the two-day format, mm-hmm. now I'm not saying the love connections have lasted forever.
Okay.
One just ended, lasted
mm-hmm.
8 months. I was very happy because I actually knew both participants, and it was
right.
my evil plan to get them together.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I invited both of them, one from Philadelphia and one from Minnesota.
Wow.
And they were inseparable for about 8 months, and, you know, then something happened that neither one of them wants to talk about. You know, not everything lasts forever. You hope that it would, but we do make love connections at our workshops. In fact, we have to be, and of course here's another one, my story's coming, very, very careful and have rules surrounding communication between the participants and especially between the trainers or the facilitators and the participants for the week after the workshop. We don't want any communication whatsoever other than very basic emails. And here's the reason why. Especially when it comes to the facilitators who at the moment are mostly male. Okay, we have mostly male facilitators. We have two women coming in, one from Long Island and one from California, to be trainers at our next workshop. And the last workshop we did, I got a letter the day after the workshop. I was completely physically and mentally drained because these things take a lot out of me. And the letter could not be printed in its entirety because it got pretty graphically sexual. And it was like, you know, it made me feel great, but I knew I couldn't answer in kind because I knew where the woman was emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of the workshop, she was a wreck, as most of our participants are, and we've actually done protection around that. We actually do meditations now to protect against the wreck factor that we've had in the past. And I answered her very nicely several days later, you know, that if she still felt the same way in a month, maybe we could talk about it, and she didn't. She thanked me, and she realized that she was lonely, and I was a leadership figure, and she was instantly in love with me, and that happens a lot at our workshops. And we ask our participants to stay the hell away from each other for a week afterwards because they're raw. They're very, very raw. But they don't always listen.
Yeah, well, human nature is human.
Hello. Oh, I met this girl at a workshop, and the next day we were engaged, you know.
You know, remember the immortal words of Woody Allen, the heart wants what the heart wants, and that's why you have sometimes very strange relationships that happen.
It's very true. You know, and I wrote an ebook recently, which is actually number one in popularity on Amazon.com. I'm very, very proud. Relevance and popularity. It's number one for internet dating tips. It's called 101 Online Dating Tips under the Dating Demystified head. And what I say in the ebook is you're not going to listen to any of these tips, okay? You might listen to a few of them. And you're going to jump online and you're going to do it the way you want to do. When you fail, please come back and reread these tips again. And if you stick to them to the letter, you will find that you will find love. Because people are going to do what they want to do anyway.
Right.
But I warned them.
Well, I'm glad you warned them. So, by the way, anybody listening, first of all, you can find the link to this book on the show page in the description. I have a link there. And I made it easy for people, if you want to find this book on Amazon without trying to remember how to type it, I made a bit.ly, which is bit.ly. It's a website called www.bit.ly/spikeshow. And that, actually, I'm sorry, not Spike Show. Spike Show is this, Spike Book. So bit.ly/spikebook. You can also type Spike's Book. Either one will work. I made one in case somebody puts in an extra S. So that will take you right to the link on Amazon if you'd like to get a copy of this ebook.
And it's only $8.97. What a bargain.
But if you act in the next 5 minutes, it's $8.97.
This is true.
Okay. Guess we're not taking anything off in the next 5 minutes because it's a low, low price already. Come on.
This is true.
Absolutely. And of course, I'm looking forward to getting my copy.
And if you're on Amazon Prime, you can get it for free.
But wait a minute. I thought you said it's an ebook.
Wait, there's more.
What do you mean you can get it for free?
Did I mention Begins Through Knives? Amazon has a thing called Amazon Prime,
yeah,
which I think is a $75 a year membership, and you can borrow any book on Amazon for 1 month for free.
Wow.
Any book.
Because I actually have Amazon Prime, mainly because I forgot to cancel it. And, you know, you have like 60 days or something. I get the free 2-day shipping. I know there's TV shows and things like that. But I didn't know about
that. Video and everything and streaming, and then you can get my book for free. Look at that, Bubba.
I did not. Johnny Carson used to say, I did not know that. So I am here. I'm going to have to enjoy more Amazon Prime.
There you go. Well, I'm Ed McMahon, and I'm reminding you, Johnny.
Yes, friends. So now you do a lot of related work. You've been running a blog for quite a long time. I want to hear about the blog a little bit.
My goodness. I have so many blogs. I started blogging. I wrote a book in 2003-ish called Internaut. That's Internknot, the Internet Dating Storybook. And I just loved Internet dating. I really had such a great time for about 4 or 5 years after my divorce that I just started writing everything down and, you know, wrote a book, and it was lovely. It was me and five friends and chronicling all our stuff. And I put up a website for the book because, you know, the publisher said you got to put up a website for the book. And I just started blogging there. And the blogs were not about dating. They were about everything. They were about my friends, my ferrets, baseball, hockey. Anything I felt like talking about, I wrote down. And it started me down a path of really loving to write just stuff. And eventually I said, wait a minute, I'm a relationship author. I'm a published relationship author. Maybe I should start writing about relationships.
Yeah.
So I stopped writing on that, and I opened up Dating Demystified on blogger.com about 2 years ago, two and a half years ago. And as with anything, I think I wrote 24 blogs in the first 6 or 7 months and maybe 10 or 15 since then. But there's a lot of good stuff there. There's some of my proudest work is on blogger.com under the Dating Demystified head. And I'm also a featured author, an expert, quote, unquote, on yourtango.com. That's YOURTANGO. It is a dating site. It is not a dating site. It's a relationship site with a 3 million readership, probably 75% women, 25% men, and some of the most brilliant relationship writers and authors and psychiatrists I have ever known are on that site. Everybody should go to that site because it is a wealth of free information.
That's one of my favorite prices to pay for things, by the way.
Free, I know.
Yeah.
It's good.
Free beats a fee.
Yeah, and I am ridiculously retweeted from that site. You know, it's wonderful to go on and see how many people retweet and Facebook and Google Plus me and some other sites that I've never even heard of.
Oh, really?
What is it? Stumble Upon? I've never even heard of that. Last week.
Well, I'll tell you when I got it. I've actually written for a Romanian blog.
Romanian?
Romanian blog.
I never knew you were Romanian.
Only the steaks are Romanian. I sometimes write articles about men's views around women for the Romanian blog.
Do Romanian men have different feelings about women than American men?
Oh, I don't know, but it's a women's blog. So I'm like this American author who's I have contributed a number of articles to them.
That is very cool.
But such topics as leaving the seat up or down, you know, things like that. Really great stuff.
Well, one of my most recent blogs on Your Tango is entitled Make Room for Farting Possible.
Yeah.
I'm dead serious. It was very well read. It was retweeted by all.
I think you're pulling my finger.
I am dead serious. Make Room for Farting Possible. It is on Your Tango. You can find it under me. I'm telling you.
That's great.
Find it under my name, David Spike Ostercy. Make Room for Farting Possible. And it's all about why women will not fart in front of their men.
It's
absolutely. And I'll give you a quick
how
this all happened. And this is a good one. About a year and a half ago, when I was still dating my ex-girlfriend, I was sitting in the living room, and I have a bathroom attached to my bedroom. And I walked in, and the bathroom door was closed. So I just sat on my bed about 6 feet away, and I'm just kind of sitting there listening. Because she said to me at one point, I will never fart in front of my boyfriend. I never farted in front of my husband all those years, blah, blah, blah. She's a nice Jewish girl. And I just sat there and I listened. And it was very quiet and I didn't hear anything. And all of a sudden, this sound. And this is exactly what the sound was.
Okay.
It was kind of this strained, happy sound. It was wonderful. Just this... And I smiled and I'm laughing hysterically. And I hear a flush and she comes out and I'm just laughing. And she's looking at me going, how long were you sitting there? I went, oh. And she goes, did you hear anything? And I looked at her and I went, what? She chased me around the entire house, out the front door, down the steps, out the front of the building, across the side, across the street, back down, inside, threw everything she could at me, and about an hour later, I finally collapsed on the couch, and she jumped on top of me. It was the funniest thing that have ever happened to me in my entire life.
Wow.
I would not let her live it down. That sound is like, it's classic in men's circles.
That is great.
Oh, I loved it. So women do fart, but they try not to do it in front of their men. So we've actually had, you know, a lot of discussions with women around this. And it's a discussion in our workshop as well, because we like to get them laughing and embarrassed. And then they open up and drop their mask.
Well, I mean, I grew up in a family. I don't think I ever heard anything like that coming from my mom. Ever.
Me neither.
And, you know, my dad was certainly very, very, very proud, as any man would be.
Yeah, men are generally very gaseous.
Yeah.
Yeah, but women, not so much. Now I'm not really clear exactly what happens when a bunch of women get together, but I would think that they do not pass gas in front of each other either.
Or maybe they do it with their pinkies up or something.
I don't know. I mean, I've heard it can be so far as women will go into a stall in a public restroom, and they will not do anything unless the stall on either side of them is empty. God forbid somebody hears them tinkling, or God forbid anything dropping in the toilet. I think that they just have a feeling that the minute they flush and walk out of that stall, all the women will be standing there with their arms crossed, looking at them like, how dare you make those sounds?
Well, you know that the Japanese as a culture are, men and women, are very much... It's a real shaming thing. There actually are apparently devices that are in many Japanese public toilets, that like a noisemaker machine that makes sounds so that your sound will just be lost in the shuffle, so to speak.
Really,
I'm not making this up.
Blaring, clanging, bing, 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 bing.
I don't know. I don't know what.
That's more Chinese. I got it.
I was
in Chinatown a few days ago, so it's just in my head.
But I remember when I first read about that, I was like, "That's." And people, you know, they would spend a lot of money for a device like that rather than, you know, being able to deal with it. So it's not altogether that foreign an idea. But I guess here, we're very comfortable with it.
Well,
I can't believe where this conversation has gone, Spike.
It always gets to potty humor. Read the papers. It's always potty humor. It's either sex or potty humor. Generally, if you run a workshop and you have sex and potty humor, you'll be the most popular people in the world. It's all people want, really.
Well, we're broadcasting live from Flushing, New York.
Exactly.
Okay. I couldn't help
it. Oh, the New York Mets.
So let's switch gears entirely. We're going to change gears here. So it's been a gas talking about it, but I know one thing. Another thing I know about you, Spike, is that you're a tremendously talented visual guy. You have made some really tremendous photographs. I have seen many of them, and I want to hear about that area of your life.
Okay, I picked up my first camera. A Canon AE-1, a very, very, very long time ago. So I'm 54. I was probably 21, so about 30, 32, 33 years ago. And I was working a job. I was a manager at a law firm down on Wall Street on Maiden Lane.
Mm-hmm.
And I came home from work one day, and my house was empty. And there was a note, go to your mother's. So I went to my mother's, and there was my 3-year-old daughter. And my mother had a sheepish look on her face, and she said, I'm not going to mention names here, your wife left your daughter with me, and she's gone. You are now a single father. Deal with it.
Wow.
Tough love from my mother. So I went to work the following day. I sat down with two of the partners of the law firm. And through a series of events, a week later, I was employed at a photography company because I could not manage a job at a law firm working ridiculous hours with a 3-year-old child home alone. So I started taking her out on shoots with me. She absolutely loved it. and the rest was history. About a year and a half later, I opened up a portrait photography company called the Taste of Honey Studio.
Mm-hmm.
We kept open for about 15 years doing portraits in homes, in
mm-hmm.
people's homes. I could honestly say that my pictures hang on more walls in New York City and Westchester than any other photographer alive, because I've shot tens of thousands of families.
Wow.
And just kind of when digital came in, I kind of lost something because I just couldn't compete with the Sears prices and the come in, get your pictures taken, leave with your photos 5 minutes later for $1.98.
Mm-hmm.
That was a problem. So I picked up my first digital around 2002. And it was amazing to me that I could just shoot and shoot and shoot and shoot and shoot and shoot and look and look and look and look and not have to worry about film, not have to worry about processing. And I just fell in love with the digital medium. And then I found Photoshop. And I just went crazy. And I have a tremendous amount of my work on a site called Redbubble. That's R-E-D-B-U-B-B-L-E, redbubble.com. And I'm under Snapshots 101, just the way it sounds, S-N-A-P-S-H-O-T-S 101. And I have a tremendous amount of landscape photography, a lot of flowers, a lot of animals, a lot of Bronx Zoo stuff. But my love is working in Photoshop and doing things that I've never seen other people do, especially with shapes and colors. And I have a thing called implosions, where I literally take photos and I just implode them. Every single pixel is going off in a different direction. It happened by accident about a year ago, and it's just explosive, brilliant, amazing patterns and colors. I'm talking to some representatives, some photo representatives, agencies right now to represent me, to be able to, you know, put this in commercial buildings and in galleries all across the city. And I just love taking pictures. You know, it's cool. I don't have to ever buy any photos because they're all over my house. They're my screensavers and all my electronic devices. And I just love being out in nature. You know, if I'm not with a camera in my hand or meditating, I'm probably playing softball or hockey.
That's definitely a Bronx boy kind of thing to do.
Yeah, played a lot of sports in my day, broke a lot of bones.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, lots and lots of bones. You know, I was not real shy when it came to sports. Kind of a, you know, 60 mile per hour straight ahead kind of guy.
Yeah, I know. Okay, you played softball. Were you a stickball guy, too, growing up as a kid?
No, you know what? We didn't play stickball in my neighborhood. We played a tremendous – I lived on University Avenue, which was two very wide lanes in the Bronx.
Mm-hmm.
Massive, massive lights at night. I mean, it was like daylight on University Avenue at night. So in the 60s and 70s, you'd have lines of parents sitting in their chairs in front of all the buildings and all the kids playing in the streets till 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning on Friday and Saturday nights because the parents knew where the kids were. They were right
mm-hmm.
in front of them. And we would play football or ultimate, which is like frisbee football, you know, for hours and hours and hours and hours. And it was an amazing way to grow up, surrounded by thousands of kids. And I never needed brothers or sisters because I was never alone. You know, it was just every kid should grow up in a neighborhood like I grew up in New York City, surrounded by hundreds of brothers and sisters. And lots of abuse.
Oh, of course.
God forbid you drop the touchdown pass.
No, I grew up in Bayside, Queens, but most of the people who brought us, in other words, the parents of my generation, most of them were guessed where they were from, the Bronx, Brooklyn.
Really?
Absolutely. A lot of them were the transplanted. They outgrew their neighborhoods. They moved out to the suburbs, and we were like the one step from the suburbs. We were like half city, half suburb, and so we had a lot of those games. That's what I know about stickball. The difference is we didn't have the sewer thing. You know, people who know about stickball in New York City is, you know, you measured how far a ball would go by how many sewers it would go over. You know, to get a home run, it was, I don't know, four sewers or whatever it was. We had games like off the wall where you would play baseball by throwing a ball against the side of a building.
Yeah, we would do the same thing. We played it off the steps. It was called stoop ball.
That was a different – stoop ball was one game, but off the wall was you would throw it like at the top of a six-story building and see how far you can get it backwards. So
right.
You might go way back to get a home run, you know. And we had all those games that you would make. All the kids made up games, except it was the same game from generation to generation of, you know, red light, green light, and hide go seek, and
oh yeah, Buck Buck, Johnny on the Pony, Ring Alivio. We played
yeah.
all that, but we had an interesting neighborhood. You know, I always hang out with the tough kids. Even though I was a nice Jewish kid, I went to Hebrew school, I got bar mitzvah, I never hung out with the Jewish kids. I always hung out with the Irish and the Italian kids. And a typical game for us would be, we'd go up to the roof of one building, and a bunch of our other friends would go up to the roof of the other building, and we would line the ridge of the roof with gasoline, put bottle rockets all across the roof, light a match, and we'd all stand there. And I remember one particular time when, you know, two grosses of bottle rockets, that's 288 bottle rockets shooting back and forth between the buildings, and we're wearing our football helmets and our hockey masks and everything. A lot of them went awry, and we set a fire, probably five or six draperies in each of the buildings.
Oh, no.
Parents in the neighborhood hated us. It was terrible. Fortunately, never the draperies of the parents of the kids that we were hanging out with, which was a good thing. Somehow we missed those.
You're giving me a flashback now to shooting a bottle rocket up a slide, you know, a playground slide. But they call it New York, and nowhere else, but I think in New York they call them a sliding pond. I don't know why. And we'd shoot them up there, but there was one point where I remember a bunch of us were learning how to make model rockets, the Estes rockets. You remember those?
Right.
And you'd build these beautiful models, and you could shoot them up like a mile in the air. And we managed to have these extra engines.
Oh no!
And we shot them off the slide. It was not good. It was not good.
No, we used to do a lot of insane things with incendiary devices. We'd empty out M80s and put them under large piles of poop, and delay fuses and walk away and wait for people to walk by. It was not good. It was just not good. We were terrible.
Thankfully, there is a statute of limitations against childhood stupidity.
Yeah,
from the 60s, or we might be in big trouble right now.
Okay, so
from the people who brought you, hey, you get off my roof. Here's the guy from 6E coming down. He's listening to the show right now, and he has a word to speak with you.
Yeah, I remember those curtains.
Right, exactly. So, what's next for Dating Demystified?
We had planned actually June 30th and July 1st is our next scheduled workshop. There may be some challenges with some of the trainers coming in for that date,
mm-hmm.
so there's a possibility we're pushing it back into September. There were also some challenges that I had with my family that have taken me away from leading it for a little while. So there's a possibility it might be pushed. We're having a production meeting later this week.
Okay.
So it'll either be the end of June or the beginning of September is the next workshop. You'll just have to check our website to find out which it is.
Well, that's the immediate answer to that question. What's a longer-term answer? Where do you see this going?
Got it. If I could dream freely, the longer-term answer is we're doing four workshops in New York a year. And we're doing two workshops in probably 20 cities across the U.S. and Canada and Great Britain also every year. We want this to be in most of the major cities of the world because men and women need to understand that they want each other, they love each other, they need each other, they're better when they're together. You know, old saying, you know, look at every great man, there's a great woman behind him. The opposite is also the truth. Look at a great woman, and she generally is supported by a great man behind her. And I'm not talking
mm-hmm.
about money.
Right.
I'm talking about somebody that cares enough about you to be there for you when the times are rough. Because, you know, the old saying, when poverty comes in the door, love goes out the window.
Right.
It shouldn't be that way. When you're with somebody, it's for better or for worse. And men and women need to understand that, you know, that really, really, really is the truth. And when we work together as a team, we're 10,000 times stronger together as a couple. So that's part of what we want to teach, and not just in New York. We want it to be a global phenomenon, you know, kind of like Peak's Potentials, T. Harv Eker, Landmark
mm-hmm.
Education, Tony
sure.
Robbins, very similar to that.
You're making me think of a song, believe it or not, about the kind of love that might be that doesn't involve, you know, you're saying like it's not about money. There was an old song called She's Funny That Way. I don't know if you know that song.
It's, a few bars.
I'm trying to remember the lyrics. I'm not much to look at, nothing to see. Just glad I'm living and happy to be. I got a woman crazy for me. She's funny that way. So if you look at the lyrics of that song, this is a guy who, I've also heard it as he's funny that way. Ella Fitzgerald also sings it. So here's a song about a true love of somebody who's really going to stick with me. You know, she never hollers. She'd live in her tent. You know what I'm saying?
All I'm thinking of is you have such a lovely singing voice. I'm touching myself over here.
Oh, cut it out. But it just that kind of really true, beautiful feeling where it's really about being together no matter what.
Yeah, and men and women can have that. It's just a matter of saying hello, you know, and it's just terrifying for most men and most women to walk over to someone of the opposite sex and say, "Hey, I'm Spike, and I was just looking at you, and I think you're really cute, and I think I'd like to get to know you. Can we have a cup of coffee?" 90% of people can't do that, you know. And when you talk to women, when they go out in public, and women go out in public, men shop online. It's just the way it is. The men shop for women online, and the women are out in the bars and the clubs, and if the men knew this, they'd be out there too, but they don't know it. And they say that when I go out, all I meet is jerks, assholes, and drunks. Because those are the guys who have the guts to walk up and say something to them. The nice guy that they want to meet is sitting in a corner staring at them in the dark, but they don't see them, and the guy will never come approach. So we teach men and women to approach. Yes, and we teach women to approach, because that shy guy may never come over to you, and he might be the man of your dreams. So you got to go say hello to him.
I like it. Wow. So here's your opportunity, David Spike Ostrosy, to tell people where they can find you, what's next, what would you like to let people know?
Where they can find me. I'm often in dumpsters on 38th and Madison. They can find me in multiple places, many of which you've already so lovingly discussed on this call. One place is our website, Dating Demystified, not spelled as you would think. Think of misty eye, like if you're crying. So it's demystifieddating.com, DEMISTYFIED, demystifieddating.com. You can go in and you can ask for a free newsletter by giving your name and email address. And if you give your name and email address, you actually get 101 online dating tips mini ebook for free. That is the actual tips before they're expanded into the larger 120-page ebook, which is for sale on Amazon.com. You can also find me on Your Tango, which is YOURTANGO. I'm a featured author there. And just type in David Ostrosy and she'll be able to find me, or male, you know, dating coaches. I'm in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
I have articles all over that. My blog, which is linked to the Your Tango site, or maybe it's not. I'm really not sure. I have so many of them. I am on blogger.com. I am chemistry101 with a K. Okay, K-E-M-I-S-T-O-Y 101, or Dating Demystified, Dating Demystified blog on blogger.com. And, of course, if you go to amazon.com, you don't even have to type in my name, or you can, but you could just type in online dating tips or internet dating tips. I'm on page one in both of those niches. If you just type in online dating, you'll probably find me, but I might not be on page one. It goes between page one and page two.
Okay.
The name of the book is 101 Online Dating Tips, Dating Demystified, 101 Online Dating Tips. And it's funny, it's quirky, it's silly, it's a little bit in your face, but the tips work. They really, really do. So those are just some of the ways you could find me as a dating coach. And if you want to purchase some really, and I'm saying this from the heart, absolutely breathtakingly beautiful photography, go to redbubble.com, type in Snapshots 101, you'll find me, and I think you will really, really love the work and my snarky comments under many of the photos as well.
Yes, we like your snarky comments.
I know, people say that.
And again, anybody listening to the show, you can always find the links right on the show page for this particular show. You can always contact me, Coach Andrew, and I will be happy to connect you with Spike. Do you have any parting words for our studio worldwide audience? We're all over there's no studio, of course. If you have any parting words for our universal audience? And many of them, by the way, are not listening now. They're listening in the future. So we're going to wave hello from 2012.
All right. So I'll try to speak from the future into the past. Love one another. Really, really, really lead with love. You know, I'm sitting here looking at my wall, and I want to read a quote from a gentleman named Aaron Huey. He leads Fire Mountain programs out in Colorado. I think it's Colorado. And he was a trainer for T. Harv Eker Peaks Potentials for many years. And I have his quote on my wall, and it says, "It's easy to open your heart when you feel loved, lovable, and loving. Illumination is when you don't feel loved, lovable, and loving, yet you open your heart anyway. Choose love in this moment. Choose love regardless of what you feel. Choose to open your eyes, hands, mind, and heart and see, feel, touch, taste, know the love that exists despite your mood. It's here, and our work is to be here with it." And I really love that quote because it's really about who I am. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I forget on a regular basis, generally with a rude cab driver or a barista, but you even have to love them because you don't know what somebody is going through in their life. You know, you may have just got a raise, you're dating a great person, and maybe the person that is pissing you off at some office where you're waiting for something just is going through a horrible divorce or a custody battle, or maybe they're in jeopardy of losing their job, or maybe they just lost their job. You don't know what's going on in someone's life. Be kind to people. If you see somebody and you like what they're wearing and you like their tie, say, "Hey, I love that outfit. I love what you're wearing." You don't know if you've just saved somebody's life by saying something nice to somebody. We've all heard stories like that. And it's the way I want to live my life and the way I would hope that everybody else lives their lives, just by loving one another and not being so bitchy all the damn time.
Mm-hmm. Random acts of kindness.
It works for me.
Absolutely. Well, David Spike Oshersee, I want to thank you very much for being on Coach's Corner. It's been a lot of fun to be with you, my old buddy. And I think anybody listening has learned a good chunk of information, and I'm looking forward to reading your book that I will be downloading.
You know, I'm so glad I could come here. You know, I missed Shia tonight. My chaba, he said, "It's okay. You're gone, BJ Fernandi. You got the phone. Do what you got to do. Talk about the women. And everything's going to work out fine."
Oh, that's very nice. As my grandmother would have said, "I'll leben auf dein Kepler."
The Kepler is the face. I know it's very good.
Very good. So thanks, everybody, for listening. You can find me, Coach Andrew, on myfuturecoach.com and on Twitter at Coach Andrew. And we will be back in 2 weeks, going to be off for the Memorial Day weekend.
Woo-hoo!
So everybody have a great weekend. David, have a great weekend.
Thank you, Andrew.
And we will see you back in 2 weeks.
Fabulous.
Good night, everybody.